Welcome to episode 5 of the Errant Heel, the most romantic sports podcast. Ooh,
certainly.
On SportsmanProject.com.
Lights are low.
I've decided I'm just going to say jazz playing adjectives every time because we are the only sports podcast, so we're by default the most romantic.
The most swashbucklingest?
Swashbuckling, romantic. I'm going to come up with a lot of them in the future. It's going to be great. It's my new intro.
It's going to be a good thing. I think it's going to be good.
How you feeling, Brian? By the way, I'm Tom. Here's my co-host, Brian.
Hey, guys, I'm Brian. Tom, I'm feeling, as we just discussed, I'm feeling a little under the weather.
Got a cold coming on.
Or maybe just allergies. Who knows?
It is that time of year.
How about you? I mean, you look great. You look like $1,000. How many bucks do you feel like?
I feel like less than $1,000, probably because I just ate really two gross McDonald's sandwiches.
Right in front of me, too. I don't know why you profaned my home.
I'm really sorry about that, but I was really hungry on the way here, and I didn't mean to do that, but I don't feel good.
I do not feel good about it.
I feel really bad.
Emotionally, physically, gastronomically, I don't feel great.
Don't feel good. By the way, Brian, when I was getting my McDonald's, is that a dine-in Pizza Hut that I noticed?
Oh, that is a dine-in Pizza Hut, sir.
Can I ask why we're not there right now?
Doing the show live from dine-in Pizza Hut?
I haven't seen a dine-in Pizza Hut since I was like 10 years old.
They have a lunch buffet.
It looked really big to me.
That a friend of the show, Steve, and I used to frequent in our college days.
I can see why now you picked this place to live. Because
it's right by the America's last dine-in Pizza Hut.
It's literally like seeing a unicorn. It's the greatest thing ever. Okay, moving on. In general, though, I'm feeling a little down this week.
Overwhelmed. Kind of a shitty week for sports as a whole, I think.
I think the weird and shitty is probably how I would describe it. A lot of just, I don't know, there's 22-year-old ESPN columnists defrauding people on the internet.
Will you explain that to me? Because there's a long article about it, and I don't like to read.
There's way too much to explain at this point.
Okay.
It's really deep. But the bare bones is that there's this lady who is apparently in tandem with this guy who she somehow got a gig writing freelance for ESPN.com and was simultaneously trying to steal money from people on the internet by promising they could be part of her like new website she was making and she was going to make them rich.
Okay.
And the ways that she stole money from them is really weird and it's strange, but if anyone's interested,
Nigerian scam style?
Is that what we're working with? And yeah, she had this guy who, it was strange. They're really weird con artists. If anyone's interested, just go to Deadspin and look up Sarah Phillips. And it's one of the strangest things you'll ever read about concerning the internet.
I hear it's strange. I didn't have the time to read it, but
yeah, it just is a constant reminder that the internet is a weird fucking place.
It's a dark, dark place.
A lot of weird stuff.
A lot of weirdos out there, guys.
Yeah.
You know what's not weird? Us.
Yeah, we're cool.
Yeah, we're all right.
We're a good part of the internet. We're a shining corner.
Just talk about dine-in pizza.
We've never tried to defraud any of you from your money.
So far. This episode is sponsored by the Bank of Nigeria. So.
And we are starting a new website, Brian and I, and if you'd like to get in on it, just send us $5,000.
Yep.
And
it's called ESPNV.com.
You will make... That's actually pretty good. You will make $100,000 a year.
Minimum.
Guaranteed.
Base. That's your base rate.
Because you'll be an editor or something. So
that's the errantheel@gmail.com if you want some more info.
So we had that going on this week. And then a lot of sad stuff. Junior Seau committed suicide, it looks like, which is just the latest in a long line of former football players who have killed themselves. It's not clear right now if his suicide had anything to do with like head injuries suffered while he was playing, like it has with so many other people. But it's easy to jump to that conclusion. I mean, there's really just too many former players to list at this point who have dealt with insane amounts of depression and suicidal thoughts since retiring. Obviously it's pretty heartbreaking, and once again, it's just like we wonder what the hell we're doing watching football, because this just keeps happening. Just
keeps getting worse and worse.
Yeah. I mean, are you able to justify it to yourself anymore?
No, it's just super sad.
Yeah.
I don't really want to think about it, because then I'll just be really sad.
Yeah.
I'll probably not want to watch football if I think about it anymore.
I think that's the thing. We all just kind of, like, push it out of our brains.
Yeah.
And then when football season starts, we're like, whoa! Let's get jacked for football!
So jacked.
One of the things that I thought was even more depressing was it happened on the same day that Roger Goodell handed down all his suspensions for the Saints bounty program, which just sort of highlighted what bullshit all of that was, because, I mean, Roger Goodell would like you to believe that the Saints bounty program was some kind of outlier. Yeah, like, you know, not symptomatic of just football itself.
Yeah.
And then here's another guy who kills himself, possibly because of the injuries he suffered. So, I mean, you know, we're supposed to believe the Saints are the devil,
but clearly they're just one of many.
Yeah, devils. I mean, the devil's in the game itself.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what's horrible about it. Yeah, I don't know. So that's all hard to deal with. If there are a lot of really good things on the internet today, though, that people wrote on Seau's death,
anecdotes,
good
give me some anecdotes. I heard one that I liked.
Which one did you read?
The one some current linebacker or someone like that was saying that at one of his high school camps. He came and it was, like, a big deal, and he asked someone to, like, come up and challenge him, and he was, like, the biggest one of his friends, so they, like, volunteered him.
Yeah.
And then, like, before he went at him, say, I, like, winked at him, and, like...
He let him, like, knock him over.
He took a fall. He took a dive.
Yeah, I read that, too. Yeah, I keep reading those things. I mean, Seau seemed like a great guy, and everyone talks about how upbeat he was, so it's even more shocking.
So it just makes it sadder and sadder.
There's, a couple of essays I read that really helped put it in perspective. Andrew Sharp at SB Nation wrote a really good one. David Roth at The Classical wrote just this really crazy, incredible essay about it. And then John Bois at SB Nation, who usually just writes funny stuff, also wrote this really touching thing about Junior Seau. So, I mean, it helps to have people who can write about it effectively and intelligently to help process stuff like that, because it's hard to deal with. So, yeah, that's pretty sucky. And then... I don't know, I've been watching the NBA playoffs a lot. Have you been keeping up?
You know, I'm not really that much of a basketball guy, Tom.
You're a baseball man, I understand. They've been okay so far.
You're underwhelmed. I can tell from your body language, you're slightly slumped. You've lost your color. That might be the McDonald's. But other than that, I think you're underwhelmed.
I think it's just a combination of everything that's happened this week. It's sort of sapping the joy from me, just in terms of everything. But first we lost Derrick Rose, tore his ACL.
Yeah, that's
just like a stomach punch to everybody who likes basketball. And I didn't realize how much I really loved Derrick Rose until I tried to watch game two of that.
Which ACL tear hurt you more, his or Ricky Rubio?
Oh, that's tough. At least Rubio's happened early enough on in the regular season. I don't know, because I was just so excited to watch Derrick Rose in the playoffs and see what he could do. Okay. I feel like, you know, they were ready to take the next step. And, yeah, now watching that team play the Sixers is just completely uninteresting to me. So I was really mad about that. And if anything fucking happens to Russell Westbrook in these playoffs, I've decided I will kill someone. Because after Derrick Rose, the only person I really care about is Russell Westbrook.
What if Kenneth Faried goes down?
That'll be super sad, too. But I know the Nuggets are just going to get eliminated anyway. But if fucking Russell Westbrook
ends up hurt, what kind of fan are you, Tom?
It better not happen, or I'll go apeshit on somebody. I don't know
that's
who.
That's it.
But
universe, Tom's put you on notice.
Yeah, but I mean, there's been two good series so far. The Thunder Mavs series is good, probably because Russell Westbrook is there.
You love him.
And I do love him. Everyone else hates him, I love him. And they've had close games, which have been interesting. And then the Grizzlies Clippers series has also been entertaining.
Historic comeback, I hear.
There was a historic comeback, and then last night's game was pretty close. And they're also just a fun team to watch because...
Because you love BG.
I do love BG. I love
Chris Paul. Who don't?
Who doesn't? Well, a lot of people are turning on BG these days.
Why?
They think that he mean mugs a little too hard after he dunks on people.
Which I like that about him.
I do. I like it. I think that's bullshit. If you could dunk on people like
he does... If you could do the things that he does, you're going to be like...
Yeah.
Yes.
I would be so much worse than Blake Griffin if I could do the thing.
You would never
finger
stop.
Finger gunning at people on the
hip
ground.
Hip thrusting the audience. Yes.
I would do, like, suck it from wrestling.
Triple X.
I would do, like, suck it over my crotch. I would be uncontrollable. I think he keeps under wraps pretty good, offensively. But yeah, that's a fun series just because they're two sort of opposing styles. The Grizzlies have lots of real tough big men who sort of wrestle with Blake Griffin and then... You know, solid perimeter defenders to get in Chris Paul's face. And so it's interesting to see those two go at each other. But the rest of the series just kind of suck so far. especially the Knicks Heat. Mario Stoudemire cut his hand open.
What a moron.
I know.
Well, like, maybe after you guys get eliminated, you can do that. That's fine.
Yeah.
Not like after game one.
Yeah, it was game two.
Oh, it was game two? Sorry,
yeah.
My bad.
It was a pretty stupid thing to do. I don't know. I feel like a lot of people are giving him a little too much grief. I mean, he did just have two really, really awful games for his team in a row, and his brother also died this year. So, like, if there's a dude at your work who got, like, yelled at by his boss 2 days in a row, and a few months earlier his brother had died, if that guy, like, punched the paper towel dispenser, you'd probably be like, all right, Jeff's having a hard time this year.
Everyone just give Jeff some time.
Yeah, everyone just give Jeff some space. He's okay.
Jeff's having a rough year, right?
I try to look at it like that. I mean, obviously it's different because he's a professional athlete and he's under a lot more scrutiny, but if Amari Stoudemire was Jeff from my office, I probably wouldn't be too mad at him about it. Like, that's valid, man.
I guess. But, I mean, I guess he didn't mean to, like, take himself out of the rest of the series.
Yeah, and from what I heard, it was just, he was just walking down the hallway and just sort of, like, with the side of his fist, just, like, flung it at the fire extinguisher thing. So it's like he lined it up. I'm so mad.
Fire extinguishers. Kind of
a quick thing, and then his hand almost fell off. So that sucks for him. So yeah, that's the NBA playoffs.
Do you think that because of their relation to fire and the heat is why?
Brian, welcome to Twitter from 2 days ago.
Oh. Sorry, Tom, I don't follow your fucking Twitter circles.
I mean, believe me, every single pun and joke about the fire extinguishers made, but good one.
How many Terrell Suggs Achilles tendon like parallels have been drawn between him and? Because that's literally his Achilles heel.
Oh, I get. Well, that means what?
Nothing.
Moving on.
A
lot of people hurt their Achilles tendon, so I guess that pun was made like the first time when some Olympic runner
that was the first
severed his Achilles, and guy was like, "Hey, you know what that guy's Achilles heel is? His Achilles." But it's been happening for thousands of years since.
Oh, really, Tom? Thousands of years?
Well, let's go hundreds. I don't know. That one's played out. That's what I'm saying.
So played?
You won't see that on Twitter. Hustle. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you out. So what, you've been watching the baseballs? How you been holding up?
I actually haven't had a lot of time this week.
Working man.
To watch any sporting events.
Yeah.
Did
you see the no-hitter last night?
I didn't, because I was in bed.
Well, like a chump. Jerry Weaver threw a no-hitter, which was exciting.
That is exciting.
Especially because right before the ninth inning, he had to run into the clubhouse and take a piss.
Take a little tinkle.
And his quote was, I had to pee so bad, it was ridiculous. Superstition went out the window at that point.
Hey, he's being honest.
Yeah, so that was fun. That was, you know, one bright spot of this week. We're just trying
to... We had some exciting walk-off wins around...
Yeah, that's another thing that's made this week so goddamn hard is that the Rockies won't stop playing these roller coaster games. It's just,
I love it.
I mean, it's much more interesting
than if they were just winning or just losing.
Exactly. But it's bad for my blood pressure, especially after I've spent all day being sad about internet con artists and racist tweeters and football players killing themselves. Then I come home just to relax, and the Rockies just have to mess with my emotions.
Fuck with your whole night.
It's hard being a sports fan, man. It's like, it's kind of living a cesspool sometimes.
There. Rough out there.
Okay, should we get on to our weekly segment, Brian? our good sportsman, bad sportsman? Yeah, you
are. GSBS?
You want to start us off there, Guy?
I could do that. Okay. Do you want good or bad?
Let's just go bad. Let's just keep on the bad train. Get it all out of the way. All
right. My bad gentleman this week is Joe Cowley.
Mm-hmm.
He's a sports personality. He does sports for a living.
He
doesn't play them.
No, he's a Chicago Sun-Times columnist.
Right. He writes about them professionally.
He's a sports disseminator.
He's a professional sports inseminator.
Yes.
He got into a little bit of a Twitter spat with fellow reporter, a female reporter. He said a couple of misogynist things, which I will recount to you.
Yes, he was on a plane.
He was on a plane.
And have a female pilot.
Happened to have a female pilot.
And he thought it was time for jokes.
It's joke time. Joke time at 28,000 feet. How high do planes fly?
30. I always
35
hear 30.
Million feet.
I always hear people say, 30,000 feet up.
He's about to join the Mile High Club of Jokesters. It's the jester of the skies, Joe Cowley. I'm trying to find the first one that he wrote about her.
Yeah, it starts somewhere.
A.
I don't know. You got it?
I can't find it.
You lost your bookmark.
I lost it. Man. Do you have it? Do you have it queued up?
Okay, hold on. Let me find it. Wait, I thought you just had it up, Brad. If you had, how much whiskey did you have before I got here?
So much. This is my fourth cup.
And now you're making me do it on my computer that barely functions.
All right, sorry.
Oh, now you found it. Great.
So we'll start. First tweet, flight delayed because of, quote, mandatory crew rest. God forbid anyone strains himself handing out orange juice off a cart for an extra hour.
It's a dickish thing to say, but not, you know.
Next one, I'm more likely to see a squatch before I see a hot flight attendant. Then again, I think the airlines are hiring squatches to do that job. I don't know.
Is a squatch supposed to be like a Sasquatch?
He's hip. He likes to shorten his words. He's a busy man. He's got a lot of things to write.
140 character limit.
Very busy. Yeah. Very busy. Yeah. Next one, chick pilot. Should I be okay with that? Or am I just a sexist caveman? Well,
yes. Yep. Well, first, no. Yes, you should be okay with it. And yes, you are a sexist caveman.
Kid next to me looks like Short Round. I think I'll give him a dollar to say to me, "You cheat, Dr. Jones." Hashtag first class problems.
He's trying to intercede his sexism with a little bit of racism. Hitting all bases.
One of his female colleagues, I believe, actually responded to him.
Mm-hmm. Sloane Martin, who's a blogger.
Martin, which isn't like a real writer like he is, right?
I don't remember where she writes. Well, yeah, she does good stuff.
She asked him if it's really such a big deal. He says, yes, I've heard female genitalia makes it impossible to properly operate such a complicated machine. And she has an agenda to kill. I don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sort of falls apart from there.
He keeps saying really awful things. And then he did this weird thing where he's talking about, he refers to himself as Mr. Handsome, which is weird. I don't know what that's about. And then Sloane Martin says she's going to unfollow him. And he says, "You'll be back, and when you come back, hottie up that pic a bit more." Which is just the douchiest thing.
Hey, hottie it up.
You could ever imagine someone saying. that was another depressing thing. And on Deadspin, this happened last weekend, and Sean Newell at Deadspin did a good job of sort of ripping this guy a new one. It's just depressing because this is a, professional sports writer who helps control the discourse around sports, and this is why sports fans get such a goddamn bad name. Assholes like this.
This motherfucker.
Yeah. And you, when you wonder about, like, where do all those stupid narratives around sports come from, like, oh,
it's these people.
It's this fucking guy, because they're writing columns all the time about, oh, this guy needs to man up and stop playing like a girl and blah, 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 because it comes from people who just kind of hate ladies.
Yeah. Lady haters.
Yeah. And then I think he was... I don't think he's been suspended. From what I last heard, he's on his final warning now.
Ooh,
from his employer.
That sounds super serious.
And apparently he has a history of being a dickhead on Twitter, especially to the ladies. So
maybe they should just be like, "Hey, dude, you don't have to have a Twitter anymore."
Yeah. Well, he did delete his Twitter account after this.
Oh,
apparently his editor demanded that he do it.
Well, good.
Which is fine, but still.
Baby steps.
There's still a raging misogynist bastard working for this major newspaper writing about sports for us. Which is just shitty.
But, I mean, he works for a newspaper, so it's like someone works for, like, a Betamax factory.
It's the Chicago Sun-Times, which I'm pretty sure is just constantly hemorrhaging money. Which, it's not surprising when you employ jerk-offs like this. Okay, well, that was good, bad man. Pick Brian. Well-deserved.
Thanks, Tom.
Joe Cowley. You're a bastard.
Oh, he's a bastard. I thought you were, like...
No, you're cool, man. You're a bastard.
Thanks, man.
You're always cool. Let's do my good guy. We'll stagger a little bit.
Stagger that shit.
Yeah. So
go.
My good guy.
Go, girl.
Is going to be, the new coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or I guess just the Tampa Bay Buccaneers organization in general, I suppose.
But in specific.
The coach Greg Schiano. I believe that's how you say his name. So. He used to be the coach at Rutgers University, and there was a player there, Eric LeGrand, who played under him. He was a defensive tackle, and got seriously injured on the field and broke two of his vertebrae, and is now paralyzed. I was told that he was going to be a quadriplegic after the injury happened, but he's made quite a bit of progress since then. He can now, I guess, stand with the help of others. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing that happened was Greg Schiano, who's now coaching the Buccaneers in the NFL, actually signed this guy to be on his team.
On, their practice squad?
Yeah. I mean, he can't play at all. He's in a wheelchair, but it's a, you know, sort of ceremonial type thing. But it's just really cool because, you know, he's made it to the NFL now, and he obviously didn't forget about this guy who used to play for him. And, you know, even though it's just sort of a
symbolic gesture.
Symbolic gesture, exactly.
It's nice to see.
It's nice to see because, I mean, we talked last week a little bit about the Friday Night Lights thing, and, you know, all the people get chewed up by the system and then forgotten. And I mean, this guy at least has something going for him. I don't really know what he's going to be doing for the team. I mean, I'm hoping that he'll have some kind of position with the team going forward,
right?
Which I think he deserves. And I don't know, it was just really cool of Greg Schiano to do that.
Big ups, Greg.
Yeah, especially, you know, because the NFL is such a, cutthroat.
Such a dark and horrible place
right
now.
Such a dark...
It's nice to see it. There's at least one decent human being.
I would say at this point the NFL is dark and full of terrors.
It's dark.
At all times. And this feels nice. It just feels good to watch that.
Well, Tom, I mean, winter is coming.
Yeah.
Because that's when the season starts. So.
If you watch football this year, beware, Brian. It's dark and full of terrors.
That's hot cross promotion that they're missing out on.
Yeah. Anybody who doesn't have HBO won't know what's going on right now. Sorry. Gotta be rich.
If you don't have HBO, fuck off.
Yeah. Don't listen to our podcast, bro.
I'm just kidding. Don't fuck off. I'll lend you my Game of Thrones DVDs. Just what? Just listen to the show. All
right? Brian will mail them to you right now.
I'll do it. No, I think I won't do it, America.
Brian, who is your good person? Do you have a good person?
My good person also involves the draft.
Oh, that's good.
Though, it's probably not as good as yours, but, you know,
right.
It was a nice thing. It cheered me a bit. ooh, another Rutgers player. I didn't realize this until just now. Wide receiver Mohamed Sanu. You know how throughout the draft they have, remote cams from a lot of players' houses, filming them. Mm-hmm. Well, they were sitting around during the first round. Sanu gets a call on his phone. He's like, hey, This is the owner of the Bengals. We're gonna pick you first round. It's like, oh my god, that's awesome. You start celebrating with his family. So great. They wait up. Comes around to the 27th pick, which is the Bengals. They pick Wisconsin guard Kevin Zeiler. Ooh, that's not me.
Someone pranked him.
Somebody got pranked. Some asshole.
That's not nice at all.
Called him. so he sits through the whole second round. Nobody picks him up.
Yeah, that's gonna be terrible.
The Bengals. This comes to the attention of the Bengals. So they ended up picking him, his 17th, in the third round. So
they did eventually pick him.
So
that's good. That's good. I wonder how he felt the second time they called him. Like, hey, buddy, it's the Bengals again. Fuck you.
Fuck you, Kevin.
I wonder who called it. Like, that would be... That's got to take a lot of balls to...
I hear it was, a school chum of...
Someone he knew from school. And just
yeah,
like him
some
or
asshole.
Yeah.
Some asshole.
Yeah, I read something... the guy I mentioned earlier, John Bwan Espinosa. I don't know if that's how you pronounce his name. I hope it's right.
John, write in. Tell us how you pronounce your name. He listens.
Last
time of the show.
B-O-I-S. Bwan, I think.
These boys.
John Boyce.
Boyce.
Okay, John Boyce wrote a funny thing about that, and something about the guy who called him referred to himself as Steve Bengal. Hey man, it's Steve Bengal from the Bengals.
Oh my god, that's awesome. Weird about your name, that's cool. Excited.
I hope that's how it actually went down. I don't think it is, but that would be really funny.
That would be dope.
Oh yeah, this is Steve Bengal. We're gonna draft you. That was nice of the Bengals. I wonder if they were planning to take him anyway, or if they were just like...
I heard that they weren't. That they wanted to pick up a receiver.
Yeah.
They hadn't quite decided. They heard about this, like, alright.
They were like, we'll get this guy a shot. We're the Bengals. We suck.
Yeah, what is it going to matter?
We can draft anyway. On sentimentality. Nobody cares. Nobody likes us anyway. All right, that's a good... I feel good about both our good guys.
Who's your bad?
I got to round
this
out.
Bring it back down.
Bring it back to the depressing tone that we
ground
started
this motherfucker.
So my bad guy is another sports writer of sorts.
Getting a theme.
Yeah, I've noticed that since we've been doing this podcast, there's less bad athletes and more asshole people.
Bad people surrounding athletes.
Yeah, which is kind of depressing.
Do you think that there's another podcast that talks about how shitty we are?
It's just you know who sucks this week? It's assholes who do the Aaron Hill podcast. They're jokes.
God, I hope so. That means someone's listening.
Yeah, maybe.
Sorry, go on.
So it's from a Philadelphia sports blog called Crossing Broad.
Okay.
And one of the bloggers there, Kyle Scott, just wrote a post, you know, about, you know, Philly sports.
About the game.
I think it was about, I don't know, the Flyers game and, I don't know, maybe the Phillies game a little bit. And then at the end of the post, just thought it'd be super funny to slap a little picture that he found on
some
douchebag post on Twitter, which was from a baseball broadcast earlier in the game, where some poor woman who was sitting in the stands, like, inadvertently flashed the camera with her crotch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, wasn't doing it on purpose. Was just like,
just like adjusting her skirt.
Just like getting out of her seat.
It's a hot night in Philly.
Yeah, and the camera happened to catch her. So, of course, some fucking asshole on Twitter was like, I'm going to screen cap that and put it on Twitter. And then this blogger was like, oh, that's funny.
Oh, my God, man.
He just slapped it on the end of his post. It was completely unrelated.
Apropos of nothing. Like,
was just
hey.
Like, LOL. And,
Lulz, you guys like panties?
You know, just not that, not a very cool dude thing to do.
Yeah.
Because, the woman did not, you know, consent to having her vagina posted all over the internet. So, like, she was standing in front of the camera, like, flashing things on purpose. Mm-hmm. And it's just super gross and pervy to do that. And, you know, once again, just sort of bringing sports fans as a whole back down to
bringing
the
us all down.
Puddle that we're trying
bringing
to climb
us all
out
down.
Of. yeah, I mean, it's just been especially bad with him and Joe Cowley, and I don't know. I just wish people would be more responsible about stuff. I mean, it's not really funny. It's just gross.
Yeah. It's a little played out, crossing
yeah.
the road.
Like,
right?
Were you, like, 9 fucking years old, man? Like, did you know that the internet's just full of naked women that you can look at whenever
literally,
you want?
Literally jam-packed with them.
You do not need to go trolling Twitter looking for upskirt shots of poor women at baseball games and, like, making jokes about
maybe,
it.
Maybe that's his fetish. Maybe his fetish is baseball upskirt.
You know, I'm betting there's a porn site.
There's not a lot of baseball upskirt videos on Pornhub.
I guarantee you, you could find all the baseball upskirt videos you want that were, you know, legally made and put on the internet.
Like HD.
Yeah.
Streaming.
Yes, with professional actresses. All you want. You don't need to be taking advantage of poor women on a television screen. So, deep sigh.
Deep sigh.
All of that very depressing.
America.
There were a lot of choices this week for bad guys.
Yeah.
It was real bad.
It's dark out there, man.
Really bad. There was another round of people being racist on Twitter.
About what?
On Monday, the ESPN broadcast live a soccer game.
Okay.
An English Premier League game, and it was mm-hmm. a really big one. It was Man City versus Manchester United, which I guess is...
That sounds important.
Yeah, it sounded really important. And, of course, a million people took to Twitter and were like, oh, it's just soccer shit on ESPN. The stuff is gay. Soccer's for gay watch. Gay. Because they couldn't watch, I don't know, fucking First and Ten.
Yeah.
At 2 in the afternoon. They had to flip their shit because some soccer was on. But
trying to rush around the horn here, motherfuckers.
The most ridiculous one is, I guess that game came with some Spanish language commercials. Because it was being watched by 600 million people around the world.
Yeah.
A lot of people in Latin America. So some Spanish language, you know, people bought commercial space. And so someone on Twitter wrote something like, how come when I turn on regular white people ESPN, I'm seeing Spanish commercials?
Was this ESPN Deportes?
I'm sorry, I didn't realize that ESPN was, you know, de facto white people ESPN. Normal white people ESPN.
Spanish
so
language commercials.
From now on, whenever I...
Fucking mayhem.
...refer to ESPN, I just call it white people ESPN.
White people ESPN.
People are like, Tom, it shows the game on
tonight. No, it's on white people ESPN.
It's on white people ESPN. Which one's that? You know... The regular one.
You know.
For white people.
The one for the whites.
Yeah. So that was also...
Skip Bayless is on. That one.
Yeah. I'm getting all crushed again.
You're getting heated right now.
I mean...
Heated.
I spent all week dealing with all this crap. Now I'm not feeling good about it again.
Can we lighten it up?
Let's lighten it up, man. Lighten me up, Brian.
This weekend, your favorite show is all new. Saturday Night Live.
Saturday Night Live.
Is when Saturday Night Live is on.
Is it live on Saturday Night?
It's live from New York.
Saturday nights. Okay.
Who's hosting this week? It's Eli Manning.
Oh.
It's right.
Adorable little idiot brother.
Adorable little baby Eli.
I don't think that's going to go well for him.
I don't think it's going to go well for anyone,
He's
Tom.
He's very stiff.
I saw some of the promos that he cut
with
Keenan or Kel. I don't remember which one is on the show
now.
It's Keenan. Okay.
Kel's dead.
Like dead. Like
overdosed on drugs or something.
Dead in a crack house somewhere.
Yeah.
poor Kel. This episode is for Kel.
Died so young.
This episode for is for Junior Seau and Kel.
Yeah. Big ups.
So, what would you rather do besides have to sit through what I assume is a 3-hour show now? I haven't watched it in a long time.
I think it's like
90 minutes. I think it's like 90 minutes.
It's 90 minutes total, but like 8 minutes of actual sketch time. Because it's just commercials.
Just pure commercials and like 3 Rihanna performances.
Awesome. Yeah, that's going to be bad for Eli, though, because Peyton's such a good SNL host.
It is true. Peyton's good.
And so he's got a lot to live up to. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to go well. So Brian and I came up with little lists of things we'd rather do for 90 minutes than watch Eli Manning on SNL, as we did. We did that 2 weeks ago with the NFL draft thing.
Yes.
So, yeah. A little recurring thing we got going on.
Yeah, it's just the thing we do. It's the thing we do. Jokes. Just two guys having fun.
Just two hot guys making jokes. you want to give me your first one, Brian?
I would rather watch 3-minute clips of every Adam Sandler movie back to back.
Which 3 minutes? Like the worst 3 minutes?
Whichever 3 minutes whoever is designing this torture chamber has picked out for me.
You could get some bad ones there.
I could get some bad ones.
If I was in charge
I'm
of
gonna
that,
get some bad ones.
Wow. If I was in charge of that, I would just do like the bathtub scene from Billy Madison like 100 times in a row.
Nothing from like Click?
I liked Click, man. I mean, considering other Adam Sandler movies, like Click's like one of the best he's done recently.
Like, it's kind of hard to pick 3 minutes out of I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. That's
yeah,
worse
that
than
one's
the rest
just an abortion, the whole thing. that would be really bad. I don't know. I might actually watch Peyton Manning instead of that.
Okay. Wait, Peyton or Eli?
I'm sorry.
In your head,
Eli,
man.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Eli. I would
That's why Eli's a fucking complex.
Yeah, because everyone's like, oh, yeah, Peyton Manning. He's funny. Okay, I would rather spend 90 minutes hanging out with one of my friends while he tries to show me funny YouTube videos, except that the YouTube videos keep buffering really slow, so then we just end up sitting next to each other on the couch really awkwardly and way too close to each
waiting,
other.
Waiting, watching little ball spin?
Yeah, I would rather do that for 90 minutes.
Waiting to see shit girls say for the fourth time.
Have you? That's happened to you before, right?
Yeah.
It's the worst.
It's the worst.
I feel like it's a thing that happens to everybody, but no one ever talks about, is nobody likes to be showed YouTube videos.
No. You have to find them organically.
Yeah. If
or
someone's
like hey, watch this. Like, all right, I'll watch that when I'm alone.
Yeah. No, like, there's just some kind of, like...
I don't need to be sitting super close to you and you, like, staring at me, watching for my reaction.
Yeah.
I need to do it in the privacy of my own home.
Yeah. And the thing is, the video could be hilarious.
Bottomless, whatever.
If I watch the video by myself, I'll probably love it.
Yeah.
But I don't want anybody showing me videos on YouTube. I don't know why. It's some kind of weird...
It's the worst.
It's I think it's just some weird instinctual thing that we have evolved with. We don't like to be shown things by other people. And it always happens where the thing doesn't fucking buffer.
Yeah.
And then your knees are touching on the couch and the laptop's between both of you. And you're just
getting really hot. Like you're
the
getting
laptop
a little clammy.
Batteries, getting
a little clammy.
Your leg all sweaty.
This
is
the worst.
I really wanted to watch this basketball game.
Why don't you have a good internet connection?
And then you're already pissed
now?
Off and the thing is funny. You're not going to laugh.
You don't laugh despite them.
Yeah. Actually, Brian.
Ruins your friendship.
I saw this really funny YouTube video.
Oh, what's after the show?
Do you want to watch it right now?
I want to.
We can actually put the show on pause. I'll show it to you.
Stop recording right now. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm going to show Brian this YouTube video. We'll be right back.
Oh, my God. The lion tried to eat the baby. We're back, guys. We're
hilarious.
Back. Oh, it was not. But I felt like I had to laugh because Tom was next to me. And he had his arm around me. It was weird.
It was awkward.
It got a little weird.
All right, Brian. Do you have another thing you'd rather do in any minutes?
I would rather be stuck in a room with 3 people who really like the street art of Banksy and have me hear about how avant-garde and revolutionary he is.
That sounds horrible.
Hey, you guys know about this street artist? His name's Banksy.
He does these crazy graffiti, man. Totally subverting the system.
So crazy. He painted on the Western Wall once, man.
There was this one of those guys like throwing a Molotov cocktail.
But inside the bottle, flowers.
Totally gets it. What's wrong with this system, man? that's what we need more of.
Hey, have you seen Exit Through the Gift Shop?
Everything you ever want to know about art is just right in there, man. Totally explains it. Yeah, that sounds awful. But maybe better than watching Eli Manning. I don't know.
Do you have one more?
I have a few more, but I don't know if I'll say them all. None of them are all that good.
Give me.
I would rather hang out on a sunny afternoon in a park.
Sounds lovely.
A downtown park. I'd rather hang out in that park but also just be surrounded by dudes playing their acoustic guitars poorly.
How many renditions of Wonderwall are you prepared to hear right now?
They'll all be playing Wonderwall.
Like, the one guy will play like Jason Mraz.
Yeah.
One guy will go crazy, he'll do like an Adele cover.
Mm-hmm. And half of them will be sort of half-heartedly singing under their breath, which is just super annoying. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather do that. Sounds awful. Do you have any other ones?
I don't, but we're like 40 minutes, so you should probably...
Ooh, okay, yeah. So we're so bad at getting
consistent time.
We're
having fun, though. There's
a lot going on this week. A lot to talk about.
This episode was dark and full of terrors.
When the episode is dark and full of terrors like that, it's hard to get
it. You don't want to stop it.
Done on a timely fashion. Okay, you got anything else you want to leave us with, Brian?
TheAaronHeel@gmail.com. That's our email address. Yes. You can shoot us a little missive there. Tell us what you think of the show.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a good or bad sportsman that you want to bring to our attention, we welcome that, certainly.
We're open to requests. As long as it's not us.
As long as it's not just a picture of us.
Douchebags.
First of all, how'd you get that picture? Second of all, that's mean.
Don't do that.
You can follow us on Twitter @TheErrantHeel.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to iTunes. We got some very lovely reviews there, written by some of our lovely listeners.
Five stars. Yeah.
That's the max, I think, you can get. It's five.
FYI,
that's
yeah.
5 out of 5.
Yeah. Doesn't go any higher than that.
Does not.
It's like infinity stars.
So, yeah, shoot us an email. Follow us on Twitter. Review us on iTunes. Yeah. Go to thegoodmenproject.com.
That's our home.
That's our home. That's your source.
That's where we exist.
For the Aaron Heel.
Always be sure to check out the sports section in general at Goodman Project.
Absolutely. A lovely, lovely website.
A lot of the other sports editors there have been writing some really good stuff, and we're taking submissions all the time. And if you want to submit anything, too, you know, get at
it. Yeah. Get at it.
Yeah.
Tom, I just want to commend you before we leave for shaking your habit of staring directly at the microphone when you talk.
I'm getting better, right? I've been looking at you, and then I look at my computer screen, and then I...
You don't...
I look a little bit at the mic.
Directly at the microphone the whole time, which I appreciate.
I basically just feel like a pro now. All right, Brian, play us a good jam. Can I request a good jam?
Next week.
Can I pick the jam that we play this time?
Yeah.
Don't
say it on air.
Can we play...
We don't ruin the surprise. It's going to happen literally right now while they're listening to this.
Can we play just the saxophone riff from the end of Midnight City?
Yeah, we can.
Okay.
I can hook that up.
All right. Don't actually do that. That's not cool.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Take it easy, everyone.
Speed down 24 toward the city for supplies. Technically out of bounds. Roll my window down. Hear my tires sing to the asphalt. Drinking the highway sounds. Oh, solitude, friend of the friendless. Light in the dark night coming on. Grab what I want without saying a word. Drive through the dark till dawn. Track lights blur together, anklet buzzing on my leg. Thinking up lies to tell. And this may be the time I get banished from the palace. To seek out some smaller cell. Oh, solitude, friend of the friendless. Light in the dark night coming on. Grab what I want without saying a word. And ride through the dark till dawn.